Yeah, Film Vault.
Yes,
Film Vault. Thanks for joining us, everyone, for the Film Vault. That's Anderson.
Yeah.
I'm Brian Bish. We're your hosts.
What's up, kids?
Top 5 fictional products.
Mm-hmm.
Items you can buy in the movies. Now, Anderson, you came in here saying Slim Pickens.
Slim Pickens.
What?
I didn't find a whole lot that tickled my fancy or could work.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I will admit that I think I stretched the boundaries of fictional products, but these are all fictional. I mean, some exist in futuristic settings. Some are products that hopefully someday could be reality.
I had a couple that I put on my list. I'm like, wait, these have been on other lists for other things, such as weapons or product placements. Something was on there that I wanted to use. So
true. I'd leave off some very good ones in order to not double, triple, quadruple up on movies that we've done before.
But I got a decent list, not a whole lot of also rans, but it's fun. You don't know until we actually dive into this, what a subject is going to produce. So
yes,
it's fun.
Indeed,
it's fun. It's nice.
We'll
give the listeners, I think, a solid 5 each. But I bet there's going to be, I'm guessing, 2, possibly. I would set the over under on 2.5, right, for crossover.
For crossover,
yeah.
Oh, that's I find it hard to.
How many decades you span? How many decades?
Mine go back to 1984.
Oh, I got 3 decades. All right, let's do it.
Yeah, 84, 90s, and 2000s, and the 2010s.
As I've been saying.
So 4 decades.
Since I got into the studio here. Hey, you guys seen anything good? Safe. Let's talk movies. What have you seen?
Let's talk about some movies. Let's in a segment we call Flick Fashions, we'll confess the flicks we've seen in the past week.
For the purposes of this year program?
Quickly. I'll briefly mention a movie you flicked last week. We're going to try and avoid this in the future. Of course, we're going to say that every week now.
Right.
But caught up on Bridge of Spies. A movie you hail as a potential masterpiece.
Yeah. There's definitely masterful filmmaking going on there.
There is some solid filmmaking going on.
It's very solid, and it's a bit of a masterpiece about that era and what went on, yeah.
Directed by Steven Spielberg.
You don't like him, I'm sensing. From
Tom Hanks and Mark Rylance.
The smug look you're giving me. Talk to me, my friend. What was the problem?
Initially, when I first saw the trailers, was not sold. It was like,
made for old white men with jowls.
Then I heard Anderson rave.
Well,
I was like,
I want to rave. I said I was pissed because I did like it.
Masterpiece to me is a rave.
It's a masterful filmmaking.
That goes on the poster, my friend.
Oh,
that goes on the poster.
Settle down. I said it's a masterful filmmaker, and it's kind of a masterpiece. But there are some chinks in the armor.
Easy.
And I bitched about those. Don't misquote me as saying that Spielie is making masterpieces.
You said he's a master filmmaker at the top of his craft in this movie.
This is the best movie he's made in years. Yes, in years.
Interesting.
Do you even see his movies? Did you see War Horse? War fucking horse, Brian. Did you
That's
see
a good
it?
Point. I did not see War Horse.
Well, then what are you doing?
You know what? Then maybe I don't have a leg to stand on. This is a good movie. This is a capable, competent, above average Spielberg movie. But I don't think this goes on the greatest hits album. I don't think this makes the cut for the sizzle reel at the end of the when he dies at the end of the at the Oscars.
He's gonna die at the Oscars.
No, he's gonna die, and they're gonna have a tribute to him.
Oh, I see.
I don't know if this makes.
They just show the picture of the man. They don't show his movie. I guess they do.
They
show
like
behind the scenes type shit.
Cuts, clips.
Look, this is definitely in his top 50 percentile. I might even go as high as top 30 percentile.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially for his dramatic.
I guess
works.
He's had a few stinkers.
A few. Hey, did you see that part at the end that I was talking about there? And I'm not giving anything away, but where old Hanks is on the bus back home, and he's seeing like the juxtaposition. It's just over heavy handed. Like, look at America. It's the same shot, but it's children playing rather than people being shot in no man's land.
So
America.
Good news for everyone. This is we actually were able to watch on Apple on iTunes. We were able to rent it and watch it on Apple TV. Mm-hmm. So it's actually in theaters now, but also you can watch it at home, which is a nice convenience.
That's a good
for
news.
Everyone.
People can
it's a nice
spend
convenience
money.
For everyone. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Movies are going to cost you money one way or the other. We're big fans saying, oh, you can stream it for free.
It's true.
But it's not for free.
Right.
There are, I wrote down in my notes on my couch, there are some heavy-handed jump cuts and juxtapositions. There are many. There are several instances where we start off with one thing and jump cut to a bit of a. Would you call it a ham-handed juxtaposition?
Well, you're misusing jump cut. Not to be that guy right now, but jump cut is when it's in the same. It's the same shot essentially, and they just cut a big chunk out from that shot.
Okay, like I guess a smash cut is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, smash cut. to what are you talking about? I don't recall. Oh, this
I didn't
being
write down
issue.
The actual. I didn't,
way to go!
I don't want to give anything away, but there were times where it was I can't remember the exact instance, but they'd be talking about something. Smash cut to example of that not happening in America, or something like that. So,
oh yeah,
some
yeah.
difference.
Like, the smaller versions of what I was bitching about last week yeah. with the bus ride as opposed to the in America as opposed to the one that he took in Berlin.
In Berlin. It's a nice point in history. You know, Spielberg is obsessed with that era, the World War II era, and this is just after that, as the Cold War is dawning.
Yes.
Early 50s, I guess it is. Late, what was it, 49, 50, 51, something like that?
You saw it more recently 49. Than I did, Bri. So how about you?
Six Oscar nominations, Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor. For Mark Rylance, let's talk about Mark Rylance for a second. I quite liked him. In fact, I could see him winning over Sylvester Stallone. I still think Stallone's going to win.
Sympathetic villain.
Yeah, very much so. Well...
With the callback, though. I mean, was that joke working for you? Will it help?
Well, I like that a lot, actually.
Did you? Oh, Brian.
No, I like that.
Oh, speaking of which,
there are many times
of you liking or not liking
why aren't you
things,
more worried?
I
want to help.
I got to cut in here with something completely unrelated, but I want to do something first time ever in Film Vault history.
Oh.
I want to talk to
you
Logan.
Make a joke?
Oh. With that, hey, Brian, that was
low blow.
That was biting.
That was low blow.
Towards the end of the episode, I want to have a quick little discussion with Logan without your ears.
Without my ears, you want to leave the room?
I want to predict your reaction to a movie called Deadpool, which you might have heard of. It's coming out.
You must
later,
know how excited I am
later
about
this
it.
Week.
Do you know excited? Do you know how excited I am?
Are you very excited? Because I've seen excited. It.
What?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, here you go, ruining our game.
I'm a little biased though, because I've been really excited for this for a long time.
Yeah, as have I.
I've been following the production for years.
Okay,
I've been following it before as a production. When are they going to make this movie?
That's what I meant.
You know what?
The story of how it got made is almost interesting than the movie itself. But
we'll see.
We'll see. But I mean, the story of how it got made, I would like to see.
Like a mini documentary would be good. So it was originally supposed to.
Ask the host of this show.
Oh, okay, go for it.
I'll correct you where you're wrong, Logan.
Seems like Logan's more invested.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it was originally supposed to be a spinoff of the X-Men Wolverine movie.
That's not right.
The origins.
Okay, fine. You tell. I guess I'm getting it wrong.
I'm fucking around with you. It was Wade Wilson was a character in X-Men Origins Wolverine, played by Ryan Reynolds.
I heard that, yes.
Wade Wilson is
I avoided that movie.
You must know by now. He's Deadpool before Deadpool. And his scenes were one of the only scenes that I liked about that movie. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people liked his scenes in that movie and they're like, oh, the movie was a hit and they're immediately greenlit.
I think it was greenlit before it even came out.
Oh,
I think
really?
They were planning
Why
on making the Deadpool movie.
Why is this
Because then it lingered in development hell for a decade, something
Movies
like
do
that.
Close, however long since the Wolverine movie
kind
came
of par
out,
for
yeah.
the course. It's been about 5 years.
Yeah, and they kept trying to get it made because Deadpool is such a different kind of comic book character, such to the point that I don't collect comic books, I don't read comic books, I don't even like comic books that much, but I find him a really fascinating character and always wanted him to be brought to the screen.
I did not like.
From or X-Men Origins Wolverine? Or
I did not like Deadpool.
No, I don't want to hear about that.
I don't want to hear about that. I cover it. We cover it on Cinematics this week. But
oh, you have another podcast?
Part of the reasons why I think I did not like was because this movie is like, if there's ever been a movie made for Brian.
I love that. I love
all
to hear that.
All the comedy that didn't work for me, it's like your type
it.
Of humor all
I
the way
it.
Through. You're going to... tinkle yourself when you watch this thing. It's so fucking sophomoric.
But then to bring it all home, the interesting part, Logan, you know about how the footage was released.
Yeah, they released one of those like early animatics.
No, it was leaked, quote unquote.
Oh my God,
like,
painful to listen to, I can tell you that much.
Right, it was leaked. It was an animatic. It was years after it had already been canceled because he did Green Lantern and all that.
And R.E.P.D.
Huge smashing success.
Yeah, that's the point. He did these two movies.
It went viral and everybody wanted to see that movie, so it ended up getting brought back from cancellation.
Deadpool would have worked, and if I saw Origins, Wolverine Origins. If I saw that, I think that I would have really liked his character. He is great as a side character, a background character, and you think, oh, I want to see more of him. But when you get nothing but him, it's too much.
I know.
Way too much.
I'll be the final judge.
Way
of that.
Too much.
I'll
him.
Be the final
Enjoy.
On that.
Critics are enjoying.
Really?
It's highly rated.
Here you go, ruining our gambling again.
Hey, it's one movie. There's 12 coming out this week. Settle down.
You've seen them all.
Let's go. All right. Yeah, I have seen this masterpiece you're talking about. Why don't you continue down the road with Bridge of Size?
I don't
want to
talk much more about Bridge of Size other than I think Mark Rylance is really good. Obviously, he's nominated for an Oscar. Would not be. He's a dark horse candidate
Was
right now.
Was this up
he's
for Best Editing?
It is up for screenplay, score, production design, and sound mixing.
Okay. All right. But it looked more Spielie than I've seen in a long time. And
it had that look.
I love that look. I really do. I talk a lot of shit about the man, but I love that look. I mean, that's childhood movies to me. And it gave me that warm, fuzzy comfort feeling, even though it was, you know, some heavy dramatic subject matter. Tom Hanks always makes it warmer.
And he's doing Tom Hanks.
And that...
he's standing up for the little guy.
Style and shot on film with the blowing out, you know, sun coming through the windows. Yeah. Oh, just, I want to curl up.
I liked Mark Rylance's character the most. He was my favorite character in the movie.
I saw a film. Now, you might hop on here with me because I'd be a little bit surprised if you didn't make it out to the theater and see Hail Caesar.
I saw Hail Caesar.
Let's talk Hail Caesar.
Let's talk Hail Caesar.
Hail.
Hail.
Caesar.
Caesar.
2016.
Exclamation point.
I believe it's the 18th Coen Brothers film.
It feels like 18 films.
They haven't done, I would have guessed they've done like 30, 35. Hail Caesar.
No, they do one every 3 years, it seems like.
Now to...
Right? Average?
It's funny, and it's hard with movies such as Hail Caesar.
Two and a half.
You have to really live in a vacuum and kind of put your mind, like you do with older films, where like you realize it, like a Citizen Kane. You have to really eliminate everything you know about movies since then and realize what it was doing at the time.
Absolutely. Like when you judge like old, I don't know, basketball players or football players, you gotta, have to judge them against their era. You can't say like, of course, you know... certain guys would have trouble playing today.
Now, Coen Brothers, they have such a distinct style and they have been imitated and or ripped off so many times that they almost have their own genre now. Mm-hmm. It's like a Coen Brothers type movie, whether it's a comedy or noir.
But especially comedy.
I guess this would be like a comedic noir almost, right?
Yes, this is definitely comedy first, but sort of almost a parody. But you're a noir, a throwback to a noir era.
So if I had never seen any Coen Brothers movie before and or any of the imitators that we've seen, other movies that are like Coen Brother-esque, as you say, as people say, I think that this would be like really refreshing and cool.
Okay.
But because everything we know and because we've seen Coen Brothers do better versions of this, it's Coen Brothers light. You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
It's empty calories. It goes down smooth, but not real memorable. And it's not like I'm clamoring to add this to my collection at home. If I had one,
I agree with everything you said. It's. I think it's total. I actually think liked it less than you. I think it's totally unmemorable, and comes and goes in one ear, in one eye, out the other.
I think movie buffs and people who really like movies and people who love movies from that era would like it. Like older crowd is going to appreciate it more because it's a throwback. And there's so it takes place. Josh Brolin is a studio head. He's kind of like
He's Eddie Mannix. He's a fixer.
Imagine, yeah, like he's kind of like what this kid stays in the picture, right?
Oh, like Robert Evans.
Okay, yeah, Robert, he's kind of like in that. He's the head of the studio. Sure. He takes care of all the problems. There is a one. He has a boss that is referred to, but you never see that boss.
He's the big guy off stage.
It's Josh Brolin's story, and his main gig is to put out fires. Like he knows all the actors and directors, and they poke a lot of fun about certain types of actors and directors in that era, whether they're the cowboy actor. Who they're trying to make into a dramatic actor because he's popular on screen. They got the, I love the Joseph Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes.
I get them confused. Ralph Fiennes, pretentious director.
His scene with the cowboy kid was the best thing in the movie by a long shot.
By that one scene where they're going back and forth.
Where the tour? Dear boy, why you think like that?
Where the tour? Watch my mouth. Well, much like Inside Llewyn Davis.
What are you doing with your head? Inside Llewyn Davis, one scene with the...
Yeah, that it's the scene stealer of the entire movie.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I can say it's almost worth the price of admission.
Almost.
It's great. That's the one thing that I'm going to remember. There's also a big, giant water sequence with synchronized dancing.
There's a Busby Berkeley-style aquatic dancing.
Is it Bugsby Berkeley?
Busby Berkeley.
Is it? I'm having deja vu right now.
That's who the is known for directing those.
There was another one, too.
Well, there probably is, but he was known for it.
And Scarlett Johansson kind of shows up briefly, and she's very different as soon as she's...
Jonah Hill is on the poster, but he's in one scene. Not a cameo. Like he's in one scene.
And then
scene.
He's referred to again later.
Both of those things relate to my main problem with the movie, which is way too much shoved into this not-so-big bag, which is... It seemed like the whole Scarlett Johansson subplot and Jonah Hill was simply existed so that they could justify putting in the aquatics sequence.
Right.
Like, otherwise, her character was not necessary at all.
Like they obviously have fun doing that, and it's my least favorite part of the Big Lebowski is when they do those fantasy sequences,
and it's
more of the same here. They really like doing that, and that's the one part of the Coen Brothers that I really don't appreciate at all. I think that as I was watching, actually, I want to say the Channing Tatum scene, I also enjoyed that very much. That was one of my favorite parts.
The dancing scene or the submarine scene?
Because you can tell that they love it, but they're poking fun at it at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of our listeners, and I know we have a lot of younger listeners and a lot of, you know, hard-edged listeners and kids who, you know, might be a little bit more like I was when I was younger. And I was imagining them trying to stomach this, and I'm like, this is so not for those guys. and girls, you know, it's just so over the top. But then before it's all over, Channing Tatum gets himself like in the middle of those two guys and they're like doing this really gay dance move, which was very funny.
And then he has like his head in his taint.
But you have to like suffer through so much of that from the era dance routine.
Yeah, it's very, it's played very straight until it's played for all for laughs.
Which we were just talking about. That movie that it's actually paying homage to or making fun of, we actually were talking about on this show. Anchors Away. Yeah.
Oh.
I was screaming and going, how was that a fucking thing? How was that a thing? Because it was showing up in another movie we were talking
about.
Anyhow, Channing Tatum. But it just gets absurd and ridiculous, and it almost feels like the Coen brothers, and they might very well be, on a, they got a contract where they got to fulfill so many movies in so many, you know, in so many months. And they this one just kind of felt like it was forced. Like, you want us to make a movie? Fine. Well, here.
Between this and Llewyn Davis, they felt very uninspired to
it
me.
It didn't feel like a movie they had to make.
I agree.
Whereas something like The Big Lebowski that has heart and passion, like they had to put that out there. Mm-hmm. They had to create that. This felt like they were asked to create this and commissioned to do so.
79% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's another one of those critic-proof movies where, you know, critics...
It's about Hollywood.
Cinephiles would love this.
Yeah.
So, but I think the majority of our audience would be bored and not appreciate
it. I agree. Parallels to Bridge of Spies for me. Coen brothers clearly sort of obsessed with mid-century period pieces, movies that are about all Hollywood. Barton Fink, The Hudsucker Proxy, not about Hollywood per se, but even A Simple Man was a serious man.
Loved A Serious Man.
But like these are all sort of mid-century throwbacks, and that's obviously an era they have a lot of fondness for, or at least like to make movies about, parody or reference or lampoon, as it were. And don't think it goes on the greatest hits reel. Don't think it ends up on the greatest hits album.
They also love Hostages and Ransoms. Yep, and you know, a lot of the Coen brother tropes, as it were, are found here.
If I'm to be mean about this, I would say it's a little too Wes Anderson-y for me. Like, it's a little too much cute for being cute, a little too much wackiness for being wacky.
What's unfortunate wacky. To me, I think there is enough there, and I like the backdrops, and I love the set pieces. I think there was enough there that if they spent some more time on this, they could have actually made something better. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I think there's a lot of room for improvement. They
could have cut out the Scarlett Johansson scenes altogether.
Like, it was missing one major focal point in a character that we could have all really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe Josh Brolin's boss should have been more of an instrumental part, and maybe get like, it didn't have that Walter character. You know what I mean? It didn't have that character that you really wanted to see more of. And it was all like, meh.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
I was just kind of skated through. Even the George Clooney character when he was kidnapped, just kind of like, all right, you guys.
Josh Brolin did fine, but he wasn't like a lead.
I liked him.
Wasn't nearly enough to make it drive home.
Yeah, he was the spoke of the wheel that all the other little stories shut out from.
And he wasn't enough of, you know, he should have been a side character, much like Deadpool. All right.
Interesting. All right.
Brian.
I did two films.
You assigned me a film.
I did. Oh, yeah.
You finally hit one. Well done.
Finally.
Meet the Patels.
You liked Meet the Patels, huh?
I enjoyed Meet the Patels thoroughly.
It's a fun movie.
This is a movie that is streaming right now on a Fuckflix near you. Enjoy.
Possibly your Fuckflix.
Here we go. Meet the Patels, directed by, I don't have it in front of me.
His sister and
Jita Patel and Ravi Patel, the brother-sister tandem team. The story it's a documentary, and let me pull up my notes here, buddy. Give me a second here when I do this. The cobbler is not what I'm looking to talk about. The cobbler. I actually took notes on the cobbler thinking I might.
You saw the cobbler?
I did.
Why have we talked about that?
Because it's not worth talking about.
I'll see. We'll
meet the Patel. Oh, wait, real quick before I forget, moving back to Hail Caesar for one moment.
What?
I'm sure this was discussed at some point or another because there's a tagline and that's actually part of the title, Hail Caesar, the full title of Hail Caesar, which they don't put on the poster. You don't really see, but the full title is Hail Caesar, the story of the Christ.
Oh, that's right. Because remember he was trying to make he got the three religious guys together, four religious
guys.
That
was also a very good scene.
Yeah.
That was a tentpole scene. That was a scene that was worth watching the movie for. There's three or four really funny, good Coen Brothers scenes. But they could have released it and really heavily, you know, gone with that title.
Yeah.
And there's some religious iconography in there that they could have used for the poster or in the trailer. Yeah. And I bet you they would have increased box office, Bri.
Yeah,
I bet
possibly,
you they would be pissed off.
That's right. These two no good Jews making a story about the Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
But they could have done a decent job. Hey, we've done two movies so far, both Coen Brothers movies, because they wrote Bridge of Spies.
That's right. They did.
Look at that.
Much better effort.
All right. No more Coen Brothers for a few months now.
Okay. Right,
everyone settle down.
A Coen moratorium.
So, all right, back to Meet the Patels.
Meet the Patels.
The tagline for Meet the Patels is a real-life romantic comedy, which it, in fact, was.
Kinda
it's
true.
A documentary about Ravi, who's in his late 20s, And his sister is a documentarian, and she wanted to make a documentary about him and his quest for love at the hands of his parents, who apparently in Indian culture, which I kind of knew about a little bit, but not nearly as much. Mm-hmm. God, this was eye-opening. I learned so much about the Indian culture.
The Patels
themselves. I love Indian culture. I love Indian people. Yeah. They're such a colorful, beautiful, wonderful population.
And they're motel owners.
The Patels.
I didn't realize that.
So Ravi is at the center of this, and he's very, very likable. He's the late 20s guy, and his parents think he's a loser. Essentially, just to sum it all up, he is a pathetic loser who is disgracing them and their entire family because he's not married yet.
Well, but yeah, we should back up and say that they're first generation. They're from India. He's Americanized.
Americanized, very Americanized.
And he has, of course, a Western sensibility about dating and falling in love and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, we had an arranged marriage. All of our friends have arranged marriages. It worked out great. And that's what you should be doing. You should be married by now.
So on one level, it's a study of arranged marriages versus non-arranged marriages via the Indian family names, the Patels. And you learn that the Patels are everywhere and they are somewhat related, but you can't. Not only do they want him to marry you flick fest this probably 6 months ago, but I'm refreshing because people enjoy it. Do watch this movie. It's real light and you learn a lot, and you can watch it with your significant other. Jillian watched the last 30 minutes with me and she enjoyed it. The wife enjoyed it very much.
83% Rotten Tomatoes. A fun movie.
But incest is discussed a little bit because that is a possibility. Because not only do they want him to marry an Indian woman, but they want it to be a Patel, which at first glance, especially American culture, like what?
Patel's like a Smith over there, but even more so because it's sort of a caste. The caste system more denotes who you are, where you're from, what you do, that kind of thing.
They use effective animation throughout that really helps give it a little more flavor for you. It's just, when everything's said and done, it's a fascinating behind-the-scenes look at how particular cultures find mates. And his dad's face, what a face.
I know. The dad was a character.
Such a great character. But you really care for everyone. And then his sister, who's making this movie, she's behind the camera most of the time. When you get a look at her, she's an attractive young Indian woman.
I think she's Geeta.
Geeta is a beautiful, beautiful lady. Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's a really interesting scene where he kind of turns the camera on her, and he's like, how does it feel?
Now,
where's your husband? Let's go. What's going on?
When the parents go to arrange marriages for their kids these days, apparently, the first-generation parents, they have bio data. Remember, they have like the one sheets, basically a resume on the kid.
Like, it's essentially like Match.com, but just for Indians, and it's all like word of mouth and old school, where they're actually handing off the paperwork to the other families. Like,
it's pretty great.
And like his mom's like trying to sell him on women. That might be good for him, but you like hear these phone conversations where she's like, yeah, she's an engineer, but she is heavy, and I know, Ravi, you don't like heavy. And he's like, Mom, what are you doing? You're not selling her very good. Yeah. So he goes all over the world, really. He goes to India. He goes up to Canada. He's looking for...
He goes on these dates.
All these dates, and he's meeting all these different
women. It's funny because the girls are Western. They're Americanized,
a lot of them are, yeah.
But they're doing the whole setup.
And then there's kind of a reveal, and you learn what one of the big problems is with Ravi, why he's not finding the one. And it's really interesting. You find yourself rooting for the kid and for the family, and you can kind of get in their headspace and understand why it's so important. You don't might not be able to put yourself in their shoes, but you do believe and you see how important it is to them, so you want them to be happy. I really love this whole family, and I just wanted them all to find happiness and Ravi to find a lady.
It's the rare compelling story where there's no bad guy. You kind of understand everyone's point of view, but you still have a rooting interest.
Oh God, I love the dad.
The dad was great.
He gave him a little pep talk. Just go out and talk to her. He gives him like a pat. Oh,
he's the best.
So yeah, guys, I totally recommend Meet the Patels, and it's streaming for free for you on Fuckflix there. So enjoy. Fascinating behind the scenes look into a culture that I don't know much about.
I think you'd like it. It's a solid date movie.
It's a good date movie. Yeah.
Good date streaming.
Get some popcorn and throw it on.
Ooh, maybe for Valentine's Day.
First 5-10 minutes of
it. Oh, we should have recommended this movie for Valentine's Day.
You know what? You are such a flip flopper, my friend. What? For years we've been doing this show.
No, I don't want to cater.
We're the one show that doesn't do like horror films around Halloween.
We don't do that. But.
Was that like a spot-on impression?
I thought you played a tape. I thought you had Logan prepare a clip for me. I didn't want to cater to the top five for Valentine's Day. So we should have, my recommendation, Meet the Patels.
Meet the Patels. Meet the Patels.
Coming up next.
It's where we play the music usually. Waiting for that track.
Logan's still thinking about Deadpool.
I'm not used to only doing 4 flick fessions. So.
I know, this is upsetting.
Deadpool. Is it really?
It's actually only 2.5 because we both did Hail Caesar.
It felt like it was a lot of information and just the right amount of time. Feels good to me. Yeah.
Well, 2.5 meaning one movie for him, one movie for me.
I got it.
Half an
hour. And we got to
hear it. Took me a little bit.
We're saying the same
thing. Why don't you see like 3 or 4 movies and not talk about a movie that I just talked about last week? How about you do that?
You just turn me around. What?
How about that? Why not not do Bridge of Spies. Do another movie.
But because I just saw it.
Yeah, I know. But why don't you see something else?
The audience demands.
They didn't get to hear you.
They demand to hear my thoughts.
Say pretty much the same thing I said.
They demand to hear my thoughts. And now you've heard them, and now everyone's better off for it.
Jesus Christ.
Coming up next, products. Speaking of products, Anderson.
Prods.
People bought a lot of products, which we appreciate, through our AndersonandBrian.com Amazon click-through banner.
Right.
If you're newest to the show, there's a banner right at the top of the page. If you're going to shop on Amazon, click on that, and literally costs you nothing, and we get a little reference kickback.
It drives the show.
Indeed it does. It's literally, figuratively, the lifeblood. Hey, I know we're not talking about textbooks anymore, but I have to mention the person who spent $255 on Civil Engineering Reference Manual for the PE exam.
What?
I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know, but it cost him over $250.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Thank you very much for thinking of us.
Passing the exam, man. I hope it works out for you.
So he's going to be a PE teacher?
No, it's civil engineering, so it must be public engineering.
Genius. They're going to put the PE kids to work. They get exercise while
building bridges.
Yeah. Engineering and PE combined.
Other things purchased through the Amazon click-through banner include an infant car seat was purchased. Anderson, you know that we should get this for Carano. People are, adults are getting coloring books now.
We should not get this for Carano. No, How dare you?
No, but it's like a therapy thing.
He doesn't want to color.
But it's like, I see like adults coloring all the time. I saw an adult on the airplane coloring not too long ago.
Yeah.
It kind of like,
it's a very trendy thing now.
Was it you talking about you're on a plane? Who was on a plane where everyone was coloring? Somebody was on a plane where everyone had a coloring book out. I hate all of them.
Was it CinemaDix?
What? CinemaDix? It was not bad. That's pretty good. It was not on Cinematics. No.
Okay. Someone bought the book Calm the Fuck Down, an Irreverent Adult Coloring Book. So they're going to hopefully calm the fuck down.
I get you.
The Nest Cam security camera.
Coloring is nice. I gotta admit.
See?
It's kind of nice.
You color pencils or crayons?
I do pens and I do shading with
pen.
The pen. Yeah.
Throw on a podcast. Ooh. Get a coloring book out.
Just kind of, it's like meditation almost.
We'll do the Film Vault coloring book.
Ooh.
About 5 years ago.
Zen, listen up. We need you more than ever.
5 years ago, I...
oh my God, we should do that.
I actually bought a coloring book, an adult coloring book. I spent, I think, $15 on it because it was a Ween coloring book. No, Ween, I swear to God, real thing. I own it. Okay. Ween coloring book.
A Microsoft Surface dock was purchased. 4 pairs of Beats Solo 2 headphones. So maybe someone's buying a bunch of gifts. Thank you very much. What is this? A luxury G-Spot vibrator was purchased, as well as a silicone anal beads, safe anal butt plug.
Wait, how did adult coloring books, how did that become a thing? Because I remember when we did Destination Disaster.
I think therapists are like talking about like promoting them now.
I wanted to make a coloring book of our Destination Disaster in Death Valley.
All right. I gotta
did I invent it?
Star 80 poster.
Is it me?
A Mariel Hemingway Star 80 poster was purchased.
Have you seen Star 80?
I've never seen
you
Star 80.
Fuck.
Was that in the back?
Oh, it's awesome. Oh.
A spin the shot. That's like a spin the bottle, but it's a shot of liquor, and whoever it lands on has to drink the shot. What is this here? A coffee grinder was purchased.
Star 80. Eric Roberts.
A pasta maker was purchased. Bluetooth speaker from Bose was purchased.
It's based on a true story. They actually shot it on location.
A standing desk.
Where the playmate was murdered.
More Dorothy Stratton.
In the actual house where she was murdered. That's where they shot the actual story.
Standing desk for cubicles. More ergonomically friendly. A LED TV. 40 inches. TurboTax. Very important. Get those taxes done. Also, an abdominal muscle toner was purchased. And the Nest Learning Thermostat, different from the Nest Learning security camera, third generation, was purchased.
The word nest freaks me out.
Why?
Like if it's a bird's nest, sweet. Nice. Yeah. If it's as soon as it becomes an insect nest.
Yeah, like a nest
or
of
a machine gun nest.
Like a nest of villainy.
Here are the movies that were clicked. This is the last time I saw you. I'm going to be scanning going to go quick, and I'm going to stretch it out so I hit the post. What do you think?
Do it right.
Bridge of Spies was
there you go.
Look at that. Hey,
you can stream it.
See it right now. Yeah. You can stream it on the old Apple TV. The Crimson Peak with some of the best set designs you're going to see.
Sex designs?
Set designs. Set pieces. Oh, it's a beautiful movie. Art direction, fantastic. Acting? Not even acting. It's just storyline. A little disjointed. Some skull crushing goes on though.
We got to do top 5 skull crushings.
From Here to Eternity, one of the all-time greats, as well as The Look of Silence, fantastic. Black Mass, Goosebumps, which you know what, I'm gonna have to bear down and see that one of these days. Jam and the Holograms, Spectre, The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, as well as Tron Legacy. Hey guys, thanks for clicking through.
Yes.
Now back to the program.
Hey there, I'm a lion from Roar. Any lion, I suppose. And you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com. Yes, sir. We're back.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do fake products in
fictional
film.
Fictional products.
Which, you know what? There'd be a lot more of these if product placement wasn't such a lucrative aspect of filmmaking.
Any criteria you want to mention?
They just have to be products that don't exist, that aren't weapons or anything else that we've done before.
Oh, not weapons.
Oh, yeah.
Let me adjust my list.
Because I've already, we've done top five weapons.
I know what you're saying.
You know, Ed 209 would be number one. I would love to own an Ed 209.
That's he's a product. A that would have very much fit our list, but you put it on the list.
He's
of
been on a couple of lists because
Ed 209. But that would fit.
Fucking shreds.
That would fit the list.
I would like to take Ed 209 on a walk around the neighborhood with a leash. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You think you're badass with your pit bull?
Don't.
Show him. Light up that pit bull.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on a second. That would be pretty sweet, though, to like dress like a dandy and go into like a ghetto with Ed 209 on a leash. Like skip through
South Central. Mince down the block.
Like the jungle, like at the end of Training Day. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah.
Just mince down the street.
I want to do this. All right.
But what good would a leash do for Ed 209?
Because it shows that he's my bitch.
Oh, I see.
He's mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Products.
Let's do it.
Products. I wonder how many of mine you're going to have.
My number one has sound, so I vote that I go last.
My number five has sound, so I'll go first.
Sweet.
Let's hear the
bookend sound.
I hope it's not the same one.
How many sounds do you have? You have two clips, I thought.
I have clips for two of mine.
One and five?
Four and five.
This is not
my
important.
First two. That's not important at all. I don't know why you even care about that.
I will throw a massive fit right now if this is my number one. Don't give me that smile.
I kind of want to see you take a massive fit. All right, Logan, let's play my first clip because it'll be very obvious what it is.
Don't buy wigs that come off at the wrong time. Maury's wigs don't come off.
Oh, not bad. That's a real thing.
And remember, no, it's not.
Maury's wigs are real. Tested against hurricane winds.
But Maury's wig is a fake product. Yes.
You can afford a Maury wig, priced to fit every budget. So call me now. And come in for a personalized fitting.
So yes, this is not fantastical. It's a wig is a real thing, but Maury's wigs are a fictional product.
It's true. You know what? I always thought that they were just regular wigs, but he's putting a spin on them and trying to sell them. But he just owns a wig shop, and he manufactures his own wigs, does he?
Who knows? Maybe he does. Mm-hmm. But are all yours like fantasy realm? Like they're not like
they're things
I mean?
That
like,
you can't actually.
Okay, because Maury's wigs obviously are not a thing.
I'll give it to you. Because he is putting the stamp that they are indeed
Maury's wigs.
Yeah.
Goodfellas, of course, is where Maury's wigs come from. Maury Kessler, played by Chuck Lowe. He was based on a real guy, Marty Krugman. He was a real-life hairdresser who owned a hair salon / wig shop called For Men Only, and it was located next door to Henry Hill's Dinner Club, The Suite, which is a real club in New York, and he really did do TV ads. These were,
You tracking it down?
I looked. I couldn't find. Please, if you guys are better Googlers than me, by all means, send me a real ad for Men Only. But he was a mob adjacent. He actually was the guy who tipped off the Lufthansa heist. He actually did pester him about his share of the money, and he really was killed by Jimmy Burke in the movie Jimmy Conway. I think everyone...
You're just spoiling Goodfellas left and right.
I don't believe that spoils anything.
Hank Hill eats egg noodles with ketchup.
Egg noodles with ketchup. I'm a schmuck.
The very last scene.
That's
right. Wait. No. Joe Pesci shoots you.
That's right. That's the fade out.
And then I did it my way. Sid Vicious's version. Vicious. Yes.
Maury's wigs, my number five.
Number five for me. Comes from a number of movies because Mr. Tarantino uses them throughout. Talking about Red Apple Cigarettes, a fictional cigarette brand.
So the cigarettes are a real thing, but Red Apple is the fictional brand.
Right. That's the brand. I'm just saying, I don't believe Maury made his own wigs. I think that he branded them his after he bought them from China. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. They can be seen, these Red Apple cigarettes can be seen in Pulp Fiction, From Dusk Till Dawn, Four Rooms, Kill Bill Volume 1, as well as Grindhouse's Planet Terror, Inglourious Basterds, and a scene from Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, because they were dating at the time. So Marisol Sorvino and Tarantino. Mm-hmm.
But I love this is a very pure pick here. It's just he puts his own little brand into his own little universe.
Do you find it distracting?
Show
now?
Up? No,
is it Hateful Eight?
The first time I found them distracting was when I was. Well, most of my life I've been a heavy smoker, but when I was watching Pulp Fiction, which I, like everybody else, was in love with the movie, and when I saw those, I remember searching high and low. I really wanted to smoke them. I wanted to have a pack of those, at least. It's got the yellow pack with the green apple and the green caterpillar's mug. It's like angry looking.
Yep. Poking out of the apple.
And it's funny because, you know, he could probably make a shit ton of money.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't licensed it yet.
From either licensing fees with the cigarette pack or from like Marlboro to put Marlboro's in or American Spirits in.
Oh,
he's
saying the other
movie.
Way. I'm not like either selling way. Them like on the open market.
So this is a very expensive, I would think, unless there's some kind of business that I'm not aware of involved in this, but I would think that this is a very expensive little self-branding thing that Tarantino does in his universe.
What do you think it's expensive? Oh, because it's costing him money camels in there or something?
Or to license it out and have them everywhere. I mean, you can buy things like cigarette cases and business card cases. I mean, that image is out there, and I've seen places where you can buy it, but not actual cigarettes.
Sure.
Because do you remember death cigarettes?
No.
Like in the, I think it was like maybe the late 80s, early 90s, they thought that they were going to scare kids away from cigarettes by having death cigarettes. And like they had a skull, it was a plaque pack with a skull and crossbone, and each cigarette had a little skull and crossbone on it. Oh, we smoked those fuckers up. We love them. Give me a pack of death, please. God, it was great. I love that.
Backfired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Death cigarettes.
Number four for me. Yeah, that was a good one. It was on my also rants. Number four for me.
So dismissive. Look at you.
No, I like that one.
Yeah, decent one. It's on my
list. Not good enough to make a top five, but good for you. I think it's good for your list.
Maury's wigs.
Number four. Let's see if I can get through this without laughing. Logan, you have my clips ready? All right. A movie.
Why are there clips?
Oh, there's a before and after.
No, what? You have two clips in one?
Oh, yes.
Settle down. You can't handle clips, dude.
I really can't. I have trouble with clips, but this is good.
Logan, I really am praying if there was a higher power that you play them out of order right now just so I can watch him implode.
That's not funny. This episode will be stricken from the record. Mm-hmm. Why no episode this week, Brian? Well, Logan fucked up the clips.
Go.
I don't think you and I see eye to eye on Top Secret.
No, we don't.
It's hilarious, and you fail to see that for some reason. Mm-hmm. Written and directed by Zucker Abrahams and Zucker, the team, of course, behind
Airplane
and
they do the
Naked Gun.
The Naked Guns?
Yep.
Yeah,
okay. Yep. The whole thing. So Nick Rivers is a pop star played by Val Kilmer, and the product gets introduced by him to his manager.
I don't hate this movie, by the way.
Oh, really?
It's okay.
Okay.
It is what it is. It's not Airplane.
No. I recognize it's a distant third behind Airplane and Naked Gun.
I love the one bit where he goes to pick up the phone and they do the aspect ratio where the phone is actually massive.
Yeah. They do a lot of that messing with really you. Good, yeah. And he picks up the phone and says, "Hello, how is he?" "I see. Okay, well, tell me if his condition changes."
Wow. Somebody really likes this movie.
He's dead. Ah, it's fucking brilliant. Okay, Nick Rivers has been imprisoned by Nazi Germans. He is jailed, and his manager, his tour manager, Martin, comes to see him, and they have this conversation.
"I've tried everything. The embassy, the German government, consulate. I even talked to the UN ambassador. It's no use. I just can't bring my wife to orgasm."
"Gee, that's a shame, Martin. Oh, God. Have you tried one of these?"
"Wow, well, thanks. I'll give it a whirl."
One of these is the size of this table. It's the anal intruder.
Uh-huh.
The anal intruder turns out... I couldn't get through this without laughing. The anal intruder ends up being... The anal intruder is simply a mini jackhammer. Mm-hmm. With interchangeable tips.
Right.
One of the tips is a life-size fist. And the manager, Martin, he's overjoyed. He's like, "Well, I'll go home and try this right away.
A new tool. He can give it a
shot."
He's
overjoyed.
Right.
And Nick's like, "Don't forget about my case." He's like, "Oh, yeah." And he leaves the cell. He leaves Nick alone, presumably to go try this anal intruder that Nick happened to have in his jail cell, I assume. And then we get to this next clip where Nick learns Nick learns what happened to Martin.
He learns what happened to him.
What happened to Martin and his anal intruder. Mm-hmm.
Clip.
"Way right now to the American consulate."
"Do not be so sure, Mr. Rivers. Evidently, your friend did not realize that here in East Germany we use 220-volt currents. Mm-hmm. He was found in his hotel room, impaled upon a large electrical device. Mm-hmm. Our surgeons did what they could, but it took them 2 hours just to get the smile off his face.
Oh, so he liked the fist. He liked the fisting. The extra voltage.
Mm-hmm. He died doing what he loved. Yeah. Oh, my God. And in the background of the scene, there's a German looking through the evidence, and he pulls out the thing, the jackhammer, and the fist is just... It's destroyed. It's splayed.
Oh, it's really...
It's in pieces.
Splintered. Now, forgive me. I'm a little lost. It's been a number of years since I've seen this movie. I thought that he was trying to achieve orgasm for his wife.
Perhaps that was a ruse.
Okay.
Perhaps he was so excited by this new product that he decided to try it on himself. Before, you know, you're going to unleash it on your wife.
You got to test it. You got to test it out. Yeah.
Plus, he's from the States, presumably. You know, he's going to be at least minimum 14 hours before he sees his wife again. Most likely several days.
My dad was a psychologist. He used to administer shock therapy, if you believe it, that long ago.
Wow.
When he was practicing.
That's
crazy. He would always have to give himself the shock before he would actually give it to the
patient.
Yeah, so similar, maybe.
Yeah, similar thing. So if your dad had an anal intruder.
Well, if he had to do this over in Germany, the 220 volts would be a problem.
That's a good point. Yeah. Anyway, the anal intruder is a good product.
Number four for me. Going all the way back to 1971, Bri.
Do you have any recollection of the anal intruder?
I really don't remember that. Is Top Secret the one, too, where he was trying to escape and he was digging the tunnel?
Yes, and he came up.
And then they show the tunnel, and it's like one of the tunnels probably in downtown LA, which is just a huge actual tiled tunnel paved with lines and lights.
Yep. It's like a subway.
Ridiculous.
But he comes up like 5 feet from where he started digging. So fucking good.
Mm-hmm. How many times have you seen that movie, Brian?
Probably only about a dozen.
Do you understand how many other movies
No, I've probably seen it about 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
It was that or Star 80.
Star 80, man. Did you hear me talking to you during the Amazon?
Yes, of course. Yet? I know.
They actually shot
it. Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts. They actually shot it in the location where the story happened, which is so rare. Creeps is right.
Dorothy Stratton dead.
This movie was directed by a man named Mel Stewart. Prime came out in 1971.
Stewart.
It's called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. 1971. 140 minutes. Yeah. It's a family fantasy musical.
It's not a bad choice for you.
I don't love this movie, but it's very memorable. It's very childhood, obviously. I saw it at a very young age.
Did you remember wanting the Gobstopper?
I did.
The Willy?
I thought you were going to assume that I was going with the actual golden ticket and chocolate bar and all that. But that actually exists now, and you can actually buy Willy Wonka bars and whatnot.
Can I be honest with you? I didn't want the Gobstopper. I wanted the one that changed flavors.
That's...
Remember the one that Violet Beauregard tries and then she becomes Violet?
That's the one I'm going for.
Oh, yeah. You are? Oh, they meant the Gobstopper.
Because there are
the Gobstopper is the one that they wanted him to steal.
It's like a jawbreaker, essentially, and you suck on it, and it never sucks down. You just continue.
Oh, plus, they actually have those now.
They do have those.
Yeah, they're small.
They're called rocks. They've had them. They paint them.
No, they're called the Everlasting Gobstoppers.
Really?
Made by Wonka.
But the one you're talking about is the cool one that changes
the flavors. Cool one, yeah. It goes from flavor to flavor to flavor to flavor.
That's pretty good.
Enjoy. That's it. That's all I got.
I remember it was like a chicken dinner or something. It was turkey dinner or something. It was like, oh, now I can taste the stuffing or something like that. And then it was like, blueberry pie. And then we have blueberry.
A listener sent us some kind of creepy, horrible, like Korean candy that was very similar to the After Disaster. And we actually ate them on air a couple weeks ago. Okay. And it tasted like raw onions. Ew. And then it started tasting like celery. And then it got sweet. We were all talking about this product.
It was a full meal.
Yeah. Huh. I couldn't do it. I spit it out. I don't know if you're like this. We also got those horrible Jelly Bellies sent to us, which were the bad flavors.
Oh, yeah. Those
and
are gross.
Some are good and some are bad, but they're like the same color.
Like vomit so you can't flavor. Tell.
Yeah, so we ate dog food and booger, I think. And I was so repelled, almost driving, because I'm very sensitive to smell. And went up. The next day, I was do you ever have flashback taste? I had flashback taste the next day. And I go, I'll start dry heaving in my kitchen by myself.
So if you had not, here's a psychological question for you. If you had not known what the flavor was called and it was just hands at a Jelly Belly, would you have had the same reaction?
I wouldn't have been able to tell you what it was, but absolutely, you have no idea how bad these things taste.
Really?
And a very savvy listener sent us an email saying, think about this. Somebody has to taste test this.
Yeah, to make sure it tastes like booger.
Oh, dog food. If I can guarantee you the dog food Jelly Belly was way worse than what actual dog food tastes like.
I'm sure.
So bad. Where do they even find these flavors? I don't know.
Oh, I can tell you a piece of trivia that I always heard or learned was that they originally came up with vomit flavor. That was a mistake. They were trying to make pizza flavor, and it was so bad. They're like, it says like vomit. They're like, oh, bad Jelly Bellies.
Gross. Damn. We stopped. Carano and I each had two each, and couldn't do it anymore. We're gonna try and go through the whole flavor pack. Couldn't do it. Pabs.
All right. Number three for me, a movie that you assigned to me many years ago. I should have looked up when it was. It was many years ago. Directed by Jalmari Helander. Rare Exports.
Oh.
Rare Exports, The Helpers.
The Helpers?
At the end. The end.
The end. Help me out here.
One of the best denouements I've ever seen. Should we talk openly about what happens? Because this is not the climax of the movie. This is literally the last 3 minutes of the film.
Yeah, and this is a movie that doesn't get enough love or play, and I honestly forgot the denouement. You know what?
Okay,
denouements, unless it really ties into the entire storyline and tells you what else happens with the climax, I think you can talk about denouements here and now.
Okay. If you're desperate not to hear anything about Rare Exports, hit the fast forward button a few times. But at the end of Rare Exports, remember, or the whole movie, there's like these old men that are like, you know, trying to kill the family or trying to kill the local townspeople because they're protecting their like their big Santa Claus guy.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the old men, the helpers, the scary old men.
They look like skinny Santas.
Yeah, like a skinny Santa.
Terrifying.
And then, please fast forward if you haven't seen it. But then when they blow up the Santa Claus, the main guy, when they blow up the hangar at the end, they all kind of snap out of it. And they kind of like what?
Right. Like, it's like the Wicked Witch is dead.
Yeah, they kind of come to. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they've got 198 of these old men. And
remember
when
I talked about talking about the denouement without giving away the end?
That's why I told you to fast forward.
Yeah, but...
But now they have all these 198 helpers, Santa's little helpers, they box them up. They train them. They retrain them to be Santa Claus. And they box them up and they ship them all over the world to malls all over the world to be Santas, mm-hmm. to be de facto Santas. Mm-hmm. This is the product, Rare Exports. And that's where the movie title comes from. Up until then, you didn't know why it was called Rare Exports. And then all of a sudden, they put the crate on the top of the box
inspired lid
on top
of the crate,
and it says Rare Exports. And it's like a Santa Claus, an animation of a Santa Claus.
Yeah, I'm having issues, though, with now that I remember what it's all about. Mm. It was so fantastic not knowing where the goddamn title came from
until
the very end. And now you fucked everyone.
But
now everyone's fucked.
I believe we highlighted many times. Everyone's fast forward. Fucked. I believe you highlighted.
Number three.
We did our due diligence.
Number three.
It's a good product, though, right?
If you were
running a mall, you'd buy a Rare Export.
Number three for me.
Okay.
Are you guys prepared to actually maybe do a little something here? That way, if it doesn't work out, we can just cut this part out.
Let's do it. I'm always down to try something new.
I just found, and I'm sorry, I was looking last night and I couldn't find anything, but I just found a new website for my number three product, and something just popped up, and I'm now trying to click on it, but it won't let me. Something popped up, asked if I wanted to see their latest commercial. If you go to theclearpill.com.
All right, Logan, that's all you.
It's a fake site. With NZT48 from Limitless.
Oh, is that Limitless?
Limitless!
Yes. Wait, what's the new thing we're trying?
It's a pill that can help you master the stock market, maximize your physical strength, learn a foreign language in a day.
Like super focus?
And so much more, Bri. And apparently somebody put together a fake site for NZT. And I was on it last night reading about it and looking through it. And they got testimonials. I mean, somebody's wasting their time with this site. But something just popped up. It didn't pop up last night. That asked me if I wanted to see the commercial, and I would love to see the NZT commercial.
So
I don't know if Logan can see if he can find it. Sorry, and then
the video wasn't working when I tried it.
See,
hang on a second.
Maybe it's just trying to download the latest spyware. But anyways,
please
NZT
inspect your device
from Limitless, which was a very underappreciated movie.
Yes,
from 2011,
better than it should have been.
It was actually the first time that I actually liked Bradley Cooper. I think it was the first movie that I saw with Bradley Cooper, where I'm like, this kid can actually carry a tune.
Hmm.
In the sense of a tone and acting throughout a movie and carrying the entire film. He doesn't sing. I realized what I was saying at the time, but he's not a singer and he's not actually carrying a tune. But,
he's carrying a film?
He's carrying a film, right. And he works. And this is a movie all about a guy who's kind of down on his luck. He's not doing so well. He's in a lot of debt and things aren't going well for him.
He's got a book that's like half done.
And he comes across this pill. It's somebody probably wrote it while on coke because it is very similar to coke. Much like Jim Carrey's The Mask. That is just all about speed and or coke, or perhaps Smalley these days. But like he's just kind of a drub.
Right.
And then he takes this pill and he becomes masterful of everything.
Yes. He's super focused.
When he crashes hard. Yeah. So there is that. And you know what? In researching NZT 48 last night, I realized just how sad people are because there is a lot of researches in Google for, is it real?
People who want it to be real.
Is there a pill that makes me smart? Which is kind of sad. But NZT 48, I would like that to be real, and I would like to try it once and hopefully not get hooked on being awesome at everything. Because I need that, Brian. Because I suck at all.
Okay.
I suck. I'm being self-deprecating. Want to jump on it?
I was agreeing with that.
I meant for yourself.
Oh. No.
Nothing lugs, can't get it, so. All right.
Wow. That's Logan's way of saying move along.
I guess we're going to break.
No, the video never got working. I tried for a good 2 or 3 minutes.
I Bet I can go back and listen to the tape and tell you exactly how long it was, and I bet you it's closer to 90 seconds.
Isn't that the Logan way? Just put a good 2 minutes into something and then just move along.
That's the kid way. That's the way that the new generation deals with things. You know? I tried for a good 2 minutes.
Enjoy this 2 minute break until we give up on it.
Remember back. Like when your dad would have you like go dig a ditch in the backyard? Can you imagine just a couple shovels? You're like, yeah, Dad, I tried to dig the ditch for about 2 minutes.
It got pretty hard after about 90 seconds.
I didn't like it.
Fuck it.
NZT 48, my number three.
Coming up next, more products. Oh, hey, I'm a brand new star. Anderson,
yeah.
You do the, for Valentine's Day, with the missus, you do the night out on the town, you go to an expensive dinner and have to wait forever for a table. And
you kidding me? Look,
have you done it in the past?
I've
really?
Never, ever done it.
Well, take it from me, it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, Christie's a foodie, and we like going out to restaurants, but Valentine's Day, they pack you in. They double their floor space. They put you up the tables.
It's a big night.
It really is. Yeah. And the more tables out there,
Black
the more
Friday.
Money they're going to make.
Yeah.
It really is, actually. It's their Black Sunday this year.
I think I know where you're going.
I'm going.
Blue Apron.
Spend the night in.
Yeah.
Blue Apron is a great idea for Valentine's Day, or any date night for that matter. Spend the night in. Cook it. My wife, at least, I don't know about yours because your wife hates cooking and food, but my wife, all she wants to do is just spend time together in the kitchen and make some food and share and have a nice meal together.
Listen, I love Blue Apron so much, and there's no lie. We actually use it. All three of us at this table actually use Blue Apron, and I actually got my mom and my sister a Blue Apron subscription for Christmas.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a cool idea.
I got them 2 months worth, and they love it. They love it. I'm like, this is going to bring you guys together. You can cook. You can, like, you know, 2-3 days a week, you guys can get together in the kitchen and you learn new recipes. I love Blue Apron. Of all the products that we have on this here show, Blue Apron I probably use more than any.
I was about to say, if you term number of uses, probably Blue Apron is in the leaderboard, if not a number one for me.
And it's educational. I know so much more about food and cooking than when I began doing Blue Apron.
Indeed. That's a great idea, giving it for a gift, by the way.
Than before I started doing Blue Apron. Yeah, you can do it as a gift. I mean, I have it down there.
Give yourself the gift of 2 meals free if you go to blueapron.com/TFV. That's blueapron.com/TFV.
And you know what? It's super cost effective, too, because it's way cheaper than going to the market and getting all your ingredients and trying to figure out what you need. And you're going to have leftovers when you go to the market. This is very cost effective, which I don't think a lot of people realize.
Yeah, so do it up. blueapron.com/TFV. Oh, and as long as we're here, Anderson, you have a website.
I do.
But you don't even maintain your own website, right? Didn't someone else build it for you? Or like
somebody else built it and put it all together. I just kind of update it. I just put in, like, you know, the blog posts.
Can you imagine the massive pain in the ass it is to build a website?
I don't understand it. It's all like O's and ones, and it's all Chinese to me.
Yeah. Can you say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Weebly, everyone. New sponsor. Weebly is it was created for people with the courage to start their own business and the dream to be their own boss. Again, you don't need to be a web designer or know how to code to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store.
And if you're a professional and you're serious about your craft, you can't send people over to your Facebook. It's embarrassing. No one's going to take you seriously unless you actually have your own domain, your own website.
Does it frustrate you when, like, you're looking for, like, I don't know, some business online and you click on their thing and the first Google result takes you to, like, Facebook or something?
Yeah, yeah. Then I'm like, okay, that's bootleg.
Yeah.
Bootleg. I don't trust that company at all.
Yeah. Now, Weebly has the thing that separates Weebly from the other companies that do.
And there are other companies.
Yeah, they do web design and start your site for you, or with you, I should say, is their customer service. You're always going to be able to get someone on the phone or on chat.
Which is super important.
Yeah, of course, because you're going to run into problems if you're anything like me or Anderson. Join the over 30 million people who are already dreaming big with Weebly. Start today for free at Weebly.com. I should probably spell that. Weebly.com/TFV. That's Weebly.com/TFV. Welcome back, fuckers.
Hey.
I was talking to you. And Logan. Yes, welcome back. Time for our top two fictional products. Here's where mine start to go towards the fantasy. Well, I guess Rare Exports is a pretty serious fantasy.
What?
But mine were like the first two were the Anal Intruder, which could be a real thing. It's a jackhammer.
That's your fantasy.
That is my fantasy.
A little homophobic joke there, huh?
Actually, Maurice Wiggs be more.
You want
my
your
fantasy.
Ass rammed by a fist?
That'd be more my fantasy.
What?
Yeah. Maurice Wiggs.
Maurice Wiggs. More your. Oh, because you're bald.
That's right.
I didn't even put that. You know what? I don't see you as a bald man. I just see you as Brian.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
So when you picked wigs, I didn't even think to make that easy joke that was right there. Of course, wigs stay on all the time. Of course you love them.
I would look terrible in a wig, I think.
I want to see it.
Yeah. You knew me when I had a little bit of hair.
No.
A little bit. It was 2002.
No. You didn't really know. All right. What's your fantasy pick here there, Brad?
Number two. I'm glad we brought up Steven Spielberg.
Speely.
Here's a movie that comes up once in a while, but we really... Well,
don't tell me you want a Tyrannosaurus Rex or some shit.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Come on.
No.
Put him on a leash, go to the ghetto.
It really would be awesome to have Teddy from AI.
No.
Yes.
Don't talk about AI, Brian. That movie is not an actual movie. It doesn't exist. Strike it from the record. Logan,
now,
cut this out.
I have this written down here. Related question. Spielberg insists that the tacked on Spielbergian ending that we're you're not such a fan of, that was Stanley Kubrick's original ending all along.
Nope.
How would you have viewed AI differently if it was directed by Stanley Kubrick, but no different?
I would think that Kubrick should stop making movies because he's obviously an old soft man now. Stop. Do you remember, Brian, where they go to the Knowledge Center or whatever and they have that cartoony
Robin Williams.
Einstein. And his like head is doing backflips and stuff.
Robin Williams.
It is so gross. Brian, essentially, imagine you're, not to go back to religion again.
Okay.
But this movie infuriates me.
To realize how much this
movie... it'd be like going into, let's say you're Catholic. It'd be like going into a church and some homeless man gets up and starts urinating on the crucifix. That's what that movie was to me.
Wow.
Yeah. And then at the end...
I didn't see that coming.
With the ending that he tacked on, defecation. Right on the crucifix.
It gets worse.
Yeah.
That was Stanley's ending.
It was not.
That's what I heard.
Speely's a lying fuck.
That's what I've heard.
You've seen that Bridge of Spies? Piece of shit.
I've soured you on Bridge of Spies? Just from this. Well, let's get back to Teddy
for a
second.
Does he really say that? He has the gall to merit it?
Logan probably look it up, Logan, if you're motivated.
It ended when he fell off the fucking precipice
into the water. There's a YouTube clip of Spielberg talking about the ending of AI and how... That was Stanley's ending all along.
Convenient, Speely. Yeah, you know what? Maybe
he's not here to defend himself.
I know. I can't believe how is Kubrick down with that guy? They were such different filmmakers. Why would he be down?
Maybe this movie's saving you from yourself because you'd look at your hero in a different way.
Are you suggesting that this is more a Kubrick movie than a Spielberg movie?
I think Kubrick directed it, actually. I think Kubrick actually did the directing. And,
what? He did
Spielberg
not
just
do the directing.
Slapped his name on it.
You're making me not. You know what? I told you, one of the worst things ever said to me. This is no hyperbole. One of the worst things anyone's ever said to me. God, he knew how to
me?
Get my goat. No. Oh. It was this other guy named Jason, the guy that actually did my film Snake Tattoo.
Oh, the snake?
Yeah. We were sitting there. I was drinking. He was tattooing my arm. And he's like, you know what? This guy named Jason, he would piss me off, just to piss me off, like a lot of people do. They like to see me fly off the handle and get angry. And he'd be like, he just sits back, takes a little break, takes a little breather from tattooing me, and goes, you know what? AI would have been a perfect movie if Kubrick didn't ruin it. Fuck you! What?
That's pretty good,
James. One of the worst things you can say to me.
Did you find that clip? Okay,
I don't want
there, to. So remember, Teddy is he's a super toy.
Teddy would have been tight.
Teddy was sweet.
Teddy
he was a
tight.
Super toy because he was originally supposed to be their child, but their child's in sort of weird medical stasis while they look for a cure for whatever's fucking with him. And when they get David, he needs a companion, and Teddy becomes his companion.
He's essentially Hal with a body.
Did you have Teddy Ruxpin as a kid?
No.
I had Teddy Ruxpin as a kid.
Sure you
do. You remember what Teddy Ruxpin was?
Yeah, yeah.
You put a tape in him. Yeah, and he would talk. He would tell the story to you. He'd read a
Teddy
book
bear.
To you.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you something. Teddy Ruxpin was fucking terrifying when the batteries ran low.
Oh, really?
All of a sudden, it's like, then we went into the woods. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
Here's Steven Spielberg talking about the ending of AI.
Lying about the ending of AI. Let's go.
I have to take him at his word.
People assume that Stanley ended AI with David and Teddy underwater, trapped by the Ferris wheel.
That's what I assumed.
That end credits roll.
Okay, Steve.
And they're going to be down there until their batteries run out.
That's what I assumed.
Yes. That's where they assume Stanley ended it. And I, of course, get criticized
for
carrying the film 2,000 years into an advanced future where the robots they recreated have replaced us and super mechas rule the world and it's become a silicon-based society, no longer a carbon-based society. And they certainly assume that that's how I wrecked Stanley's movie.
Right.
When in fact, Stanley's treatment, along with Ian Watson, went right into the 2,000-year future.
Interesting. Thank you, Stephen, for clearing that up.
This was where
what was that?
Stanley was going to take the movie had he lived to direct it.
Hey, Speely, you don't fucking know that. This Watson character is probably the one who tried to put this nice little lovely spin on it. And it's... Listen to me. It'd be like watching two different sports teams. Take your pick, and one always runs it into the end zone. Always. But then they get a new coach who always passes it in the end zone. Kubrick always ran it into the end zone.
Yeah,
every fucking movie, he leaves them down there rotting until their batteries die. Every movie, every Spiele movie, even fucking Schindler's List included, has somewhat of a positive spin. He frames it so that, like, you know, you show the people putting their rocks on the goddamn graves, and they're, you know, he always has a fluffy, flowery ending.
What about 2001? That jumped far into the future.
I'm not talking about jumping in the future or whatever. It's always a bleak fucking ending.
Feels like a director's trademark. Feels like a director's trademark.
How can he has the... I was just starting to come around with Spiele, remembering what I used to love as a
child. You've
never
heard this clip before?
No.
Oh, I thought someone had brought to your attention.
Because I don't even... I can't look up. I can't even see any of it happening. I get so angry. I don't want to hear anyone talk about that movie. And I can't believe we're doing it right now. No, seriously. This is... It's such a fucking black mark on Kubrick's career.
Can we hear a little bit of Teddy?
You know, when I went to see... the Kubrick fucking room, I bypassed the AI room. Just bypassed it.
Oh, that's right. There was a little AI section.
There shouldn't
have
been.
I forgot about that. There was a Napoleon section and an AI section.
Oh, Christ. We had Duncan Trussell on.
You went to see the exhibit that had literally exhibits on 9 films. You skipped one of them.
I did. Well, I walked through it, but I kept my head down. Duncan Trussell and I were talking about AI as a thing. Mm-hmm. The other night, he's a comedian, and he's from Drunk History. He's great.
Drunken T. Russell.
And he kept talking about AI and singularity, which was really, really fun to talk about because he's a really smart guy. But every time he'd use the... I can't even say the fucking AI. I got to say the full artificial intelligence now. Oh, I fucking...
They say both in the title.
They do. I know. Ruin both. Teddy was pretty sweet.
Listen to me. Spielberg's wrong. He can... you know what? There's many treatments for many things. There's no way Kubrick would have gone with that ending. I feel like I'm getting all worked up.
I disagree.
Stop it, Brian.
Teddy was pretty sweet, though.
You know what? He did have a very flowery ending for Clockwork Orange. Alex was a very happy man because he could masturbate to murder again. Yeah. That's his happy ending.
That's his happy ending.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Number two for me.
Can you recover? Can you recover on this? You really are.
Brando.
The thirst mutilator. It's got what plants need.
It got electrolytes. Now, there's a bunch of ads for this by the same people that did those
Do they ever show
videos.
A full ad in the movie?
No, we're talking about Idiocracy. Billboards talking Idiocracy 2006. Now, this is a movie that you got to ban this soon because
it comes up on many lists.
Because it's a great movie, and there's so many. It's a sign of a really good movie if you can wedge it into a bunch of different categories that we do here. And it's not because of limited movies that I've seen, which is the case sometimes with
how dare you,
Logan.
That makes sense.
I switched on you. But I'm talking about the Thirst Mutilator. Now, there's a bunch of ads. Logan, do you find something? But this isn't actually from the movie.
That's what I'm saying. Did they ever play the ad in the movie?
Play it because you're going to. I forget the product. A few, probably 6-7 years ago now, there was these ads that went viral that were like about a kick ass like energy drink that was fake and it was really funny. And those guys did one for Brando too. And Brando has his own website and whatnot. But go ahead and play it. And I think a lot of people will be familiar with what this is.
Brando the Thirst Mutilator. It's like a monster truck you can pour into your face. It's got electrolytes. What are electrolytes? I don't know, but they're extremely awesome, and Brando is full of them. And they help plants grow, which is why you should drink Brando and not water, because water is from the toilet, and I've never seen plants grow out of a toilet. It's got caffeine, super extra caffeine, and 5 kinds of sugar, which makes it delicious and much better than other energy drinks that are not delicious. Drinking it will make you wonder why you haven't ever crushed a human skull with your bare hands. But you won't have to, because you'll already know that Brando tastes how that would feel, which is like having sex with a tractor trailer in a parking lot. I just split my pants like the Incredible Hulk. See that? Brando will make you need new pants. And while you're out buying new pants, you should buy some new shoes, because you're going to wear out your shoes from kicking everyone's ass all the time. Brando will make you want to kick everyone's ass all the time. Which might be good or bad, but either way, you're going to win, because Brando will make you win in things you're not even supposed to win at. Like yelling. Brando will make you win at yelling. Or maybe instead of yelling, something else like jumping or waving. Because you'll be able to wave your hands really fast. And you'll probably become invisible, which doesn't even make any sense. But if that doesn't happen, then you'll probably just end up running somewhere. Which is good if you like running. But even if you don't, Brando will make you win at exercise.
So it looked like I could actually buy some Brando when I was doing my research. And when you click on the page to buy Brando here, it takes you to another page with other stuff. Astronaut Ice Cream, oddly enough, was actually on that other page. But no, it's the guys that did the Power Thirst YouTube videos a number of years ago. And I remember thinking those were very funny. And they just took Brando and they kind of Spielbergized it and made it their own.
You know what I mean? That is not official sanction from Mike Judge's canon.
That was what I was about to say. That was a lot of fun, but that was not from the movie.
It was not from the movie, but they took the product.
Brando is a product from the movie that plays a fun role in the film.
It comes from Power Thirst YouTube, which I remember being very funny. I think they actually cussed it in and stuff. Yeah, I used to. And then.
You want to feel so energetic? Try Power Thirst. Energy drinks for people who need gratuitous amounts of energy. With all new flavors like chocolate. Chocolate energy. It's like adding chocolate to an electrical store. Sound the alarm. You're going to be uncomfortably energetic. What's that? You want strawberry? Well, how about rawberry? Made with lightning. Real lightning. Sports. You'll be good at them. It's an energy drink for men. Energy. These aren't your dad's puns. These are energy puns. Turbo puns. Science, energy, science, energy, electrolytes, turbo lights, power lights, more lights than your body has room for. You'll be so fast, Mother Nature will be like, slow down. And you'll be like, fuck you, and kick her in the face with your energy legs. You'll have so much energy, energy. Just running all the time. Power running, power lifting, power sleeping, power dating, power eating, power laughing, power spawning babies. You'll have so many babies. 400 babies. Give chocolate to your babies and they'll be good at sports. Make your babies run abnormally fast. They'll run as fast as Kenyans. People will watch them running and think they're Kenyans. They'll race as fast as Kenyans against actual Kenyans and it'll be a tie and they'll get deported back to Kenya. Hey, go with the sure thing. Don't gamble on your energy. Snake eyes.
All right.
Why did we listen to that?
Sorry to go down that road because it's the same guys that did the Brondo, which obviously you know it all kind of ties together. And I don't have their it's just Power Thirst, and they got 29 million views of that goddamn video that I just played. So, okay. Do you remember either one of you guys remember those? No,
no,
I remember it.
It was kind of at a time where like the energy drinks were kind of coming on the market for the first time,
it was like YouTube original content was becoming really big at the time. Yeah. It was like just at the beginning of the ad revenue and stuff.
And I think those guys were still trying to stay relevant, and they eventually stumbled across Brondo.
Brando.
But I don't know when this was from. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Number two.
Brando for me. No crossover.
No crossover yet. I doubt very much your number one's on my list. Or my number one's on your list, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You ready?
I'm going to be honest. My number one is awesome, and I would like to have it. But the reason why it's number one is because the awesome ad that is associated with it.
Oh, the ad.
Yeah.
Okay.
From inside the movie. It's actually official sanction.
I have no ad for this. So this is number one for me. It was actually Christy's suggestion when I told her about the list. She often asks, what's on your film vault this week? And I tell her and she's no help. But this time she actually said, oh, what about this from this? And I said, you know what? That's a goddamn good idea. That is a product. I didn't think of it as a product, but that is a product. Talk about Baymax from Big Hero 6.
Oh, my God.
Baymax is a product.
Your wife picked for you.
Yeah, and it's
and
great.
Your pick is
it's
Baymax
a great pick.
From last year's cartoon.
That's right. Big Hero 6, 2014, directed by Don Hall and Chris Williams.
Best thing about it? Feast.
Voiced by...
Feast.
What about it?
The short came before it. That's the best thing about it.
Voiced by Scott Adsick. This is a healthcare-providing robot nurse designed by Tadashi Hamada to provide the citizens of San Francisco with better healthcare. So this would obviously be a product that was sort of a business-to-business product, like you know, healthcare providers or hospitals themselves. Or
it's like an inflatable nurse.
Yeah, exactly. And here's Baymax's official description from a Disney Wiki. The plus-size inflatable robot's job title is technically healthcare companion. With a simple scan, Baymax can detect vital stats and, given a patient's level of pain, can treat nearly any ailment. Mm-hmm. Conceived and built by Tadashi Hamada, Baymax just might revolutionize the healthcare industry.
But if you got artificial intelligence.
He does.
See
he learns.
If Kubrick took this.
Oh, if he got a hold of it.
Things would be getting a little bit slim pickings out there for him. He'd go out and he'd cause damage so that he had a job. You see what I'm saying? Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oh, okay.
Like he would crush you and then he'd be like, now you need
now
me.
Now you need me.
To bring you back to health.
So here comes Baymax.
Where's your monies?
Yeah. Yeah, Baymax can only, remember he only can be deactivated with the phrase, I am satisfied with my care. Mm-hmm. This is a great product.
This brought a tear to my eye. This movie by the end, whenever you said and done, you're actually very invested
inflatable
nurse.
And this is a great product. If this actually was on the market, you know, in 100 years or 200 years, whatever it is. It could be a robot.
God knows.
Nurse.
So I just watched The Nick, where I'm going to probably flick fast that properly here on this program. I know it's not TV Vault, but I'm going to talk about The Nick because it's worth talking about. But not to plug it again, but just on the After Disaster, the episode we did last night, I was talking about medicine of the future. And Baymax could be a reality in the future, mm-hmm. much like what I think I invented here, Brad. Right? You're going to like this. How many women out there get abortions? Too many, especially in the Nick, because the Nick is about surgical procedures
at the turn
of the century, 1900s, and we've come so far. They're actually like operating on themselves and putting their bare hands into cavities. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of women who get abortions. There's also a lot of women who want to have babies. I'm thinking abort the fetus right into a woman who wants one. You know, fair trade.
Okay.
Get a scissor and then somehow make it happen.
That's a bit creepy.
It's going to happen.
That's a bit creepy.
It's going to happen. Okay. If we can grow an ear on the back of a fucking mouse, we can get an umbilical cord going in a woman who is infertile and get that aborted baby straight into her. It's happening.
I appreciate your outside the box thinking, and I don't mean box like vagina. I mean like outside the, you know, the structural box. Mm. But it's a bit ambitious. Although, you know what? I like Baymax is extremely ambitious.
Baymax.
I like any kind of exchange program going on.
Number one for me. Logs, you ready for the clip? You got the clip there? It's, I believe, a 33-second commercial. It comes from a 1987 movie, a movie that we have already briefly discussed on this report.
Oh, let's hear it.
Paul Verhoeven is director. Talk about 1987's RoboCop. Product? It's a game.
Oh, that's right.
A board game.
Nukem?
Let's hear the ad for Nukem from Butler Brothers.
That's right.
Red alert. Red alert. Red alert.
You crossed my line of death.
You haven't dismantled your MX stockpile.
Pakistan is threatening my border.
That's it, Buster. No more military aid.
Nuke 'em. Get them before they get you. Another quality home game from Butler Brothers.
Nuke 'em. I would love to have a Nuke 'em. Just in the my library, you know, like on the
just to have it like a display piece. Did you look on Amazon and see if you can get a Nukem?
No, I haven't gone that far down the rabbit hole with Nukem, but Nukem's tight. And it's obviously a play on Battleship.
It's too bad that the violence in RoboCop and also for Total Recall for that matter, but mostly RoboCop, obscured the fact that it's a really sort of sharp satire of violent American society.
Yes.
Like it's just a smart, sharp movie.
It's a very sharp movie, and I think that it does get cast off as like a schlocky 80s action movie, and it's very good. I did not see the remake because I like the original so much that I have respect for it.
It's not good. Mm-hmm. It's really bad.
I don't know if I should see it immediately now after hearing that.
Because you might have a different opinion altogether. You won't want to see it.
But Nuke 'em would be tight. And since I remember the fantastic ad that it had, and I did a quick search. There it was on YouTube. So, speaking of which, I feel like kind of a dick, you know, playing that guy's video from way back when, even though he has nearly 30 million hits. But Picnic Face is who's credited with putting that up. Picnic Face on YouTube. They already have 80,000 subscribers, so it's not like they need our help, but I'd like to credit. Especially more.
Picnic
Logan
face?
Gets it because he worked in news for a while. You can't just play somebody else's shit without crediting them, right? Right, Lugs?
Yeah, you got a courtesy.
There you go. Picnic Face. Thank you for letting us play that on our program. And fuck you for whoever posted the Speely line about Kubrick. Fuck you.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
Listener top five?
What's your top five?
Listener top five.
Got a tie for fourth as
Let's
number
hear
five.
That listener top five.
First one is the vaporizer from Envy.
I never saw that. I avoided that. Remember Jack Black and he had the can?
No, I saw it.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Makes the poo go away?
Is it Barry Levinson movie starring?
I would love that product, though, because I got to clean up
the
poo
in
my dog's poo.
No shit.
That was pretty much
that should have been the tagline.
That was the consensus, was that horrible movie, great idea for a product.
No
Be Kind, Rewind, same kind of vibe, and I saw that, no good. Be Kind, Rewind.
Yeah, I never saw that. But
did you really?
It was
a time in your life, I think, Logan. Go back.
I think you're right, because it was like late high school when I was starting to make little movies of my own, and so it was just very relatable.
Could have been a fun short.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Same with Vaporizer. How do you make a fucking feature out of Vaporizer? Yeah. I didn't see it.
Where does the poo go?
Where does the poo go?
Yeah. It's in ether. It's
a thing from the movie.
That's the movie.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Number four, Red Apple Cigarettes from Tarantino Films.
What is that?
I don't know, but it's a good choice.
That joke never gets old.
You're right.
Number three, the hoverboard from Back to the Future 2.
Also ran. My only also ran.
I'm shocked.
Everything in Back to the Future 2.
I'm shocked that wasn't number one. For my money, the food rehydrator. The thing where they put the pizza in and pull the full-size pizza. They put the little tiny,
and it grows everything. In
silver dollar-size pizza in, full-size pizza out.
The one-size-fits-all self-drying jacket was awesome.
Yeah, there's
some
great
stuff. The pump-up shoes, the Nike shoes. There was a lot of really great product placement futuristic things. I think some of them actually hit our list for top five product placement.
Number two, Soul Glow from Coming to America.
Remind me.
It was on, you don't remember?
Remind.
Well, have you seen Coming to America?
Absolutely. It's been on my list.
Just let your soul
Sexual chocolate.
It's the, doesn't he have Soul Glow? Doesn't Randy Watson have?
If I'm remembering correctly, yeah.
It's the Jerry Curl stuff that leaves a stain on the couch.
Oh, okay. Kind of like the Dapper Dan stuff.
from Old Brother Art Thou, which almost made my list.
And the number one fictional product that's voted on by our listeners.
What do you think? What do you think? What could it be? Something from Back to the Future 2, I would think, right?
No, I can't believe the hoverboard is already on there.
The Nike pump-ups? People like those. Self-tightening.
Computer's frozen.
Remember when shoes would pump? Do you remember that, Logan? That was weird.
That was the best. Oh, I forced my parents to buy me pumps at one time. It was terrible.
Do they pop?
I thought they made you jump better.
Do you have soaps, too?
Soaps.
That's the one where like it had the piece of plastic on the arch of your foot, and so you can slide on curbs and rails and stuff.
Oh, that sounds cool. I never knew that existed.
They were cool, but it was funny because they came with a sticker along the plastic plate, and it says if you remove this sticker, you can't sue us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think that would hold up in a court of law at all, but...
I'm going on a limb and saying number one is Sex Panther from Anchorman.
Well, after you... Going on a limb. Right, just to let you know, Brian's mind here, kids.
What?
He just spent the last 30 seconds while Logan and I were over here talking, furiously looking at something online.
I'm looking at my notes. What my also-rans. My also-rans.
Oh, so you're searching your own?
I'm looking through my also-rans, see if I may have guessed one.
All right, buddy. I'll pat you on the back. Buddy.
All right, number one fictional product is Brando from Idiocracy.
Brando! Never heard of it. What is that?
Also-rans for me. Hey, Woody and Buzz Lightyear and all the toys from Toy Story would have been great products.
But they're real, kind of.
Wall-E.
Sort of.
Wall-E is a great product.
And Eve. I want them both.
Polly's robot from Rocky IV, the artificial intelligence robot from 1985.
Stop it.
Soul Glow. Although my
you know what that robot looked like? I'm sorry. It looked like Rosie from the Jetsons.
It did.
Yeah.
Looked like the little maid. McDowell's from Coming to America. McDowell's, the McDonald's ripoff place.
Sex Panther.
Is Chappie a product?
Chappie is a product.
Chappie's a product.
He is sold
right?
to the military. Chappie would definitely be available on the list.
From Brain Candy, which I could not put on the list. Gleaming X.
Thank you.
Spaceballs the Flamethrower. Come on, that's a great product. Mm-hmm. Big Kahuna Burger is actually my choice from Pulp Fiction.
It's just a cheeseburger, guys. So everyone settle down. The Apple cigarettes Hawaiian have their own thing.
It's that Hawaiian burger.
I guess an argument could be made that it's very similar to the cigarettes because they have their own brand and whatnot, but not nearly as cool as the Red Apple cigarette.
Sex Panther, of course. The Neuralizer from Men in Black, the thing they flash. I don't know if that's really a product, but it's certainly a thing. Mm-hmm. It's not really a weapon.
Same thing in Back to the Future too.
Booty Remember Sweat knocks out from Tropic Thunder. Booty Sweat. And the Paper Street Soap Company puts out some good paper. Soap.
What is that? I don't know.
Paper Street
about.
Soap from Fight Club.
Oh, from Fight Club.
Yeah. Soap.
It's made it says Fight.
They sold women's fat asses right back.
What about the Hula Hoop and Hudsucker's Proxy? You know, for kids.
It's not a fictional product.
It kind of is because they never come out and call it a hula hoop.
It's a good
point. It's its own thing.
You know, for kids.
I almost put it on there.
You know,
for kids. His invention is a circle.
You know.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
I like that movie too, and I wish. I think it's thought of as one of the Coen Brothers' lesser movies.
I know people don't like it.
I enjoy that.
And
movie.
You know what it is? That end sequence is so goddamn ridiculous. Once again, they went to the fantasy realm, and they had the Father Time fighting the other guy.
It's better than
the janitor. You remember with the time, and the time stops. It just got absurd.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to give away what happens, but yes, it becomes a fantasy film towards the end, where it was like it's just a normal sort of silly.
It almost
silly.
Felt like a Terry Gilliam film by the time everything was said and done. But I love everything before that, not Sucker's Proxy. It's so great. Also, Malaco Plus, obviously, needs to be mentioned on my also rants because it would be great to go to a bar where I could get milk out of a woman's breasts and drink it and put me in the mood for a little,
easy.
Ultraviolence. That'd be sweet. I'd get some right now on my way to work. Just stop off. Wow, two Clockwork Orange references.
Quick pit stop.
All right, here we go. Can you imagine if Spielie directed Clockwork Orange? Oh, can you imagine?
If he did a remake, what would happen to you?
I think I might quit all things that are film.
I'm glad to hear that because I thought you might take a more hard
aggressive.
Yeah, exactly. More aggressive stance.
I just stopped watching movies. I'd realize that, it'd be done.
Okay.
It'd be like, like those hardcore Catholics that keep going back to religion where they just kind of like lose God. They just see all the evil in the world. They're just like, I can't anymore. I'm sorry, God, to smite you, but I just don't believe in you anymore. That's what I would do with film.
They forsake
the entire
forsake
industry.
God.
I'm like, I'm sorry, I just can't.
Yeah.
All right.
Gamble.
Let's do it.
Last week you gambled on The Choice. At the time, there was no Rotten Tomatoes score. Anderson bid 57 and Brian
57.
33.
Settle down.
Brian 33.
Actually, I have no idea what the score is, so if it's 50, I feel like an idiot.
Well, currently, the week after its release, the Rotten Tomatoes score for The Choice has gone up to 7%.
What?
7.
Oh, my God. I got to start cheating. That's what I got to do.
I'm running out of I'm running out of movies.
Settle down. Yeah, you actually are.
Really
That's
am.
A true I statement
really,
right
really
there.
Am.
Oh, I found a 5.5-hour movie the other day.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Paul Giamatti's in it. Might be yours soon.
Ooh, I wonder if I should assign you the Godfather epic. It's 7.5 hours.
What?
Is Gotham. It just all of them together?
It's just the first
you
two.
Can't call that.
Strung together chronologically. They chop it up. It's actually quite bad. And they add some sort of deleted scenes from back in the day.
Sounds awful.
God damn it.
All right. Assign me something, Brad.
Fuck. I can't assign you. Have you seen 45 Years?
No.
I think it's in theaters, though.
Yeah.
And you're going to be out of
this
town.
This is a strange caveat. And we never do this, but I am literally out of town starting tomorrow morning until I get back. And I can't.
On Tuesday.
And I'm busy every single moment that I'm
gone. I want to honor that.
Please do. Please do. Why don't you just get back to me? We'll surprise everybody since you're never prepared for this segment. Meet the Patels.
Meet the Patels is a good movie. Hey, watch Meet the Patels again.
Could do that.
All right, let's gamble. Let's gamble. We'll figure it out.
All right, this week you're going to be gambling on Zoolander 2, unless Anderson's already seen it.
I passed on Zoolander 2. I had the option and I passed. Because you know what? It's one of those movies where all the... I'm assuming... Well, why am I saying these things? Okay.
I will simply say that Matt Atchity was in The Coral Show today, the editor of RottenTomatoes.com. He did not reveal the score, but he simply said that he did not like it. I'll give you all the information that I know. All
right.
So we're on the same page. What do I want to guess here?
I don't think I've ever done that number before. 100%.
I got you beat. 101.
I'm going Marc-Andre Fleury.
I don't know who that is.
He's a goaltender with big chiclets. Plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay.
29.
Oh, I said 29 too.
No. Fuck. What happens? What happens? No. What do we do here?
Look, is it 29?
Does that mean I assign you a movie?
If we tie.
Shit. Well, currently, the week before its release, with 31 reviews, the Rotten Tomatoes score for Zoolander 2 is 39%.
If it ends up at 29, we're going to have a real dilemma here. We're going to have a real dilemma to end the show.
What do we do?
We have to end the show.
What do we do?
Didn't we do that? Hasn't that come up?
No, if we do tie, then Logan assigns us films. But if we both nail it,
we've never picked the same number before.
No, we have picked the same number before. We've never picked the same correct number before. We never tied.
What do we do when we pick the same number?
The Logan assigns films. We tie.
I thought. It's like, so right now Logan's doing
that? It's as if they were both 10 apart. It's as if like you picked 30, 40, I picked 38.
I've been watching a lot of movies lately. I got some good ones in the canon.
I was going to say, Logan, I'm glad you mentioned that because I literally looked at the list of movies that were assigned today and you fucking assigned me Mystery Team.
Yeah.
I'm ready now. Usually I'm not ready for those.
So wait, I'm confused.
What?
He's assigning a movie right now for next week?
Well, no, he should wait.
Yeah, but
no,
the only way, oh, and then if it lands on 29, we assign him a movie.
I don't know what's going to happen then.
We both assign him. He has to watch two movies. We watch one from him. Yeah.
I think that rule is if you guess it perfectly on the nose,
right,
then you get to assign both of us a movie.
Right.
Right, but what if we both, so what, be if it, what if the number ends up being 29?
Yeah. See?
Oh, I guess you then get to assign.
A lot of crossover.
A lot of signing going on.
Yeah, we all signed.
All right. Yeah, it'd be like a circle jerk of a signing. Yeah.
What do I want to sign, Anderson?
Oh, you're still on this?
Are you in a good place with?
No, I'm not doing that, dude. I don't want to watch that. No, absolutely. Dad? Especially with what's going on with Corona right now. I'm back a little bit. So please don't make me watch something that's going to remind me of my goddamn day.
All right. There's a documentary out there that's a good one, but I'm not going to make you watch it if you're in a fucked up place. It's good, but not today. You know what? You need something light.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, it's right.
Oh, no, but you need something you can stream, though, right?
Ah, Christ, Brian, what are you doing? Come on. Yeah, can you just get back to me maybe like later on in the week?
No, it's better for the listener if I do it now.
This isn't good for the listener. Right now, you doing this is not good. This is where we need Logan to have like an angelic voice. He starts singing a song.
Ave Maria.
We need like a wild Brian picks a choice for Anderson.
I see. You know what came up a couple weeks ago, which you've never seen? Although, do I want to sign it to you?
Oh my God.
2010, The Euro Made Contact.
Stop it.
Speaking of Kubrick's vision, you want to see that?
No. I told you last week. I'll see it though. That's fine. Great. Done. Finished.
All right, do 2010.
You can make me watch Race.
What is Race?
Jesse Owens movie.
Oh, fuck. No, you've already seen it. There's no way you're going to watch it.
It's good.
Stop it.
It's good.
I'm not going to hear this.
Jason Sudeikis pulls it off. It's a good movie.
See Eddie the Eagle.
It's a good movie.
See Eddie the Eagle.
All right. I'll see Eddie the Eagle.
No, I don't want you to see Eddie the Eagle.
No, I'm going to see it anyway.
I don't want you to see it.
I want to see it.
I already saw it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Eddie the Eagle. All right. Done.
No.
It's official. Too late to go back. It's like you touched the chess piece.
All right, I'm going to send you a movie. I'll think about it. I should do it now.
Why do you suck so bad at things, Brian?
I don't know. We all want. There's one that I'm holding on to.
Eddie the Eagle is going to be Ted. Let me tell you. Eddie the Eagle is going to be a heartfelt. It's going to be like a Billy Elliot of the year.
going to be sweet and touching.
All right. I got a movie for you.
Eddie the Eagle. Sweet.
I got a film.
What?
It's a documentary. It's good.
Just say the fucking name of the movie, Brian.
It's about Paul Newman. It's called Winning, The Racing Life of Paul Newman.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No.
Anderson. Have you seen it? Did you see it?
He's flick-fested it before.
Oh, I don't remember that. Damn it. I thought I was being clever. Oh, I look at you. You're like, oh, can do. Can do. You know, you're the worst. If you
that one guy.
If you'd freaked out, I would have never known. If you just freaked out.
I was going to limp again. And then I was going to pretend like I didn't know who it was. And then I was going
to
freak out.
All right. Really, what you have to see is a documentary that I saw recently, Live from New York. That was an anticipated Sunday.
You didn't
Sunday
like episode. It, Brian.
It was all right. It was maybe you'd like it more than me because I didn't like it. So I was such a big SNL fan that I wanted more like behind-the-scenes stories. And maybe you'll find the political overtones. Maybe you'll like them.
You see Larry, you feel burn your enthusiasm?
Oh, from Larry David and Bernie?
Yeah. Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. Hey, a little bit of a stretch, but pretty good.
All right, live from New York, the SNL documentary.
Pretty good. Hey, is Larry David involved at all?
I do not believe he is.
That's stupid. I don't want to see this.
Okay.
He's part of the history.
He's what?
Yeah.
Did he work for the show?
Yes, he did. He was actually in one sketch.
Oh.
And he wrote a lot.
Inextricable part of their history.
And he wasn't real enthusiastic about it. And everything he pitched got shut down. All right, here we go.
All right, live from New York. All right, coming up next week. What are you doing next week? Let's figure it out right now.
Are we doing another top five? Or
no,
is it
next
time
week the Oscar locks?
Oscar locks.
Is it Oscar locks?
Let me double check that. I think it might be.
It is. Oscar locks.
Next week,
no,
Oscar
no, 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 no. I fucked that up. Goddamn, we have one more week.
Have you done anything right in the last 8 minutes?
No, I'm bad. Oscar locks in 2 weeks, everyone. And then the Vaulties. Oh, you're all in for a treat.
You know what, Brian? I got to hand it to you. You could have really fucked me and made me watch AI or something. And you didn't.
You're seen a sweet AI. Guy.
Yeah, I know. But you can make somebody watch a movie they've already seen.
Have we ever done that?
Well, I'm going to make you watch Irreversible a few more times.
No. A few. Not again. Yeah. A few more times.
Save it for like the holidays.
You're assigned it to Christy.
There needs to be some way where like I get to assign you. No, because my wife would just never go along with it. She'd be like, fuck you. I'm not going to watch that movie. I'm like, no, but honey, Brian hit it right on the head. And like that's the rules. She'd just be like, fuck you. I'm not
watching.
What
if we do the episode with our wives? That would be a great episode.
Yeah, we need to do that soon.
Let's do it.
All right.
All right, coming up next. Thanks for everyone. Hold on, Logan.
Do you know how to end the show, dude? It feels like you don't.
I fucked up. I was looking for this thing. Here we go. Thanks to PJ for the fan art this week. That's pretty good.
No, it's not.
That's pretty good.
Power, respect, Jews.
Widescreen collection. That's important when it came in widescreen back in the day. Thanks, PJ, for the art. If you want to send your art, send it to andersonandbrian.com. There's a contact link on there. Feature artists this week include the Mayberry Shift, Kanisha K. Yeah.
Oh,
Dead
Kanisha.
Cat Hat, Sean Russell, Union Specific, and Tyler Scruggs. Thanks, guys. Go to The Film Vault on both Facebook and Twitter if you want to connect with us. And yeah, support advertisers, everyone, if you want to. This week it was Weebly.com and Blue Apron. You say free Blue Apron this week, Anderson?
Love the Blue. Yeah, absolutely. Even though I'm leaving town tomorrow, so I don't get a guess. Actually, I have my mom.
Put it on hold.
I already have it in because my mom's going to be watching my house, so she's actually going to...
Oh, that's a nice little thank you.
I was going to put it on hold because you can do that with Blue Apron. It's great. You can be like reschedule and just they credit you a week.
If you're on vacation.
But I'm like,
something.
No, my mom's going to get it. She'll cook it when she's over there. She loves it.
That's
so,
actually really nice. That's a nice little thank you. A little Blue Apron. Hey, it shows up. Ready to make.
This week on Cinematics, as I already told you, Deadpool, Brian, we covered Deadpool as well as Where to Invade Next, the new Michael Moore movie.
I'm very excited.
He's still making movies, that man. Even though we got a black Democratic president, he's still making movies.
I'm going to sign that.
Bitching
you
about
gotta,
America.
You got to see that.
I got to see Where to Invade Next.
That's right.
All
right,
done. That's my movie. We do it for Van Gogh.
You touch money, I stroke your hair. There's a lump in my throat.